Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Okay, everyone, welcome. We are back with another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. I am your host, Huicho Medina, and I feel intimidated tonight. I am overpowered by our ladies. Campos left me alone. Where are you, Campos? Kind of abandoned the ship today. Well, you know, he's going through some rough times with his family. Campos, we are here for you. Anything you need as your team, our condolences to you and your family. Going through some hard times right now. But as they say, the show must continue. Mm-hmm. And tonight with me, two lovely ladies that are part of our very, very small but mighty team and overpowering the night with the woman power. To my left, Danny, how you doing tonight?
What's up, beautiful people? Good night. I want you to leave my talks to Campos, Steven. You have your family on my talks. I really hope everything's, you know, as good as possible, and don't forget that we're here if you need it. Yep. And the show must continue. That's true, and we're going to do the best to represent you today here.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it.
Yep. Sarah, how you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. Hi, everybody. It's been a minute, but I'm here.
It has been a minute. Yeah, where were you?
I was lost. No, I'm kidding. No, we've had a number of guests come by, which is amazing.
Right.
So, we've given them the mic, so they have their opportunity to share their beautiful stories. So, yeah, I've been a little absent, but I was in the building, just not in here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Tonight we have a very interesting night. Danny, tell us about it.
Tonight we are going to be talking about due diligence on properties. How important that is. I mean, when you talk about due diligence, you're looking for that property. It comes to the, you know, the real estate transactions. It's crucial that researching that you need to do right before you purchase that property. It's going to help you on the decision-making process. It's going to bring clarity when you need to negotiate that property. It's going to help you, you know, with the potential sellers. And let's go through this. And before we even start, we always like to, you know, start the night with the beautiful quote. And tonight, Sarah Medina.
Yes, I'll be delivering that quote. So tying in with what Daniela was explaining about the topic tonight, our quote is by our famous Benjamin Franklin. And it says, diligence is the mother of good luck.
Right.
Perfect.
Diligence is the mother of good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love it. I don't know if you like it. Your face doesn't look too good.
Yeah, I've been looking at it, and it's I've been trying to connect with it, and it's in the works. But I'd like to get your view on it, Sarah. You shared it.
I mean, it's a good quote, you know. I don't know about, good luck is something that just doesn't really happen, you know. You
yeah.
have to make it happen, and you have to work towards that term of good luck, right?
Yeah.
But diligence, you know, that's something that you have to take. It's taking your work serious, is, you know, doing thorough investigation, is, you know, just working very hard for that. So that would then lead to good luck because you did your research, right? But
You know where I see it applicable is when maybe somebody seasoned in the business is working with somebody starting in the business, and the starter in the business doesn't understand the processes of due diligence. Mm-hmm. And the seasoned individual knows how to dot the I's and cross the T's. And then in the eye of their inner circle of the starter, they say, oh, wow, you started with good luck. Not knowing that, you know, they partnered up with the seasoned investor that did all the. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It could be perceived as good luck to someone.
That has no clue what they're going after.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no such thing as a good luck.
No.
That's the reality.
It is.
The due diligence on the case, the diligence here, it is the good luck.
Yeah.
That is what's going to bring to your belt.
Yes.
The tools that you need so you're going to finish. It's not good luck. It's
no.
being prepared.
It's a lot of work.
It is being prepared.
You prepare yourself for the result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're seeking, right, a result, a desired result. And if you obtain the result, most of the time you won't get 100% of what you're looking for, but you'll get something close to what you're looking for. But it doesn't happen before all the arduous work and all the due diligence behind it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Mr. Franklin, we kind of hear. I guess it is what it is, right? So I mean, you want to touch on some of the bullet points, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, due diligence are very important, right?
Yeah,
there's no such thing as a good luck. So, little key points we're going to be talking or touching today. It's things that's going to make a difference on your deal, on your possible deal. Things like title insurance.
Yeah.
Why you're going to look on the title insurance. Let's start on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never know what's behind, right?
Right.
Are you talking with the, it's not good luck. Are you talking with the homeowner? Who is in the title, right?
Yeah. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Things like that, you need to conduct a good report on that one. Mm-hmm. You know, public records, see if there is nothing else behind, no easements, no nothing on that lot or the APN, that everything's fine. Can you move
matching.
Forward? Everything's matching. No clouds, you know. Everything was transferred as it should be.
Yep.
Move forward.
Yep.
Right?
You know, on that first comment that you made about making sure that you are that you're talking to the homeowner, I'm going to, you know, throw in a little bit of the contractor side. As a contractor in the state of California, you have to do your due diligence to know that you are signing a contract with a homeowner. Because there's been stories where contractors sign contracts with people that know that their home, that the landlord doesn't come around. And they go under contract for so many renovations or so many different things around the house, and then they don't pay the contractor. Mm-hmm. And the contractor comes back and does the research and finds out that it was the tenant.
Wow.
So, see, now we see that in the contractor world, and then we see that in the investor world. So what does that say? Do your due diligence.
Yeah.
Right?
All the time.
Because you don't know who you're negotiating
with. As a contractor, what do you ask? Because you ask for a mortgage statement. How do you clarify that?
That's a great question. For me, it's just easier to fall back into my real estate background.
Okay.
Every single lead I look into, absolutely every lead. I used to do it when after I met them the first time, but now before I even schedule my appointments to go out to see any potential project, I make sure that the person I'm talking to is on title.
Yeah.
Or I don't go.
Well, it's important too, because when you're pulling permits and you apply for the permits, you need to have like the APN number.
Oh, that information.
You need to have, you know, the owner's name. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, it's very important.
Due diligence, yeah. Very, very important.
One of the first.
Yep.
Yeah. Another very good point here. I mean, due diligence. Why are you looking for that property? What are you going to do? Was the property one you know you're talking with the owner? What are you looking next?
Yeah, right? Right.
Let's look for the value of the property.
Right, the ARV.
ARV. So do your comparables. You know how to do your comparables, right? This is simple, sometimes not easy. If you are on an area that's not too many comparables available there, what are you going to do? Yeah. I mean, it's your first time. You have a lot of new students here. And many times we cross with them. Hey, I don't find comparables.
Right.
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 Because this property is in the middle of nowhere.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you do when you don't find comps? What's the next step?
Well, find the comps. There's no
way. Well, I mean, something I do when I can't find, when I'm having a hard time finding immediate comps within a 1.5 mile radius of the subject property.
Go a little farther.
I go to the most active agent in the area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the next step. Do your research about who's the most active agent in that area and ask them questions. You know, they might be interested in taking another listing. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So that's the easiest path of least resistance. Go to the people. So, you know, in the search of comparables that make sense, yeah, you do your due diligence. You do your work on the forefront yourself. You do your research based on the data, the tools, the resources that you have and you use. And then if you go through all those and don't come back with the result that you're looking for, then go to the person that does exactly what you do, right? Yeah. But with a different set of tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just easy. Somebody already has that data.
Yeah, that's very true.
I used that. I did that before. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that I didn't. I use our tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
The third party database. Right. Sometimes the title, even the title, when you look on title, it comes with comparables. You use Property Radar. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can use comps over there too. When they are weird, when there is no comps, you know, of course, go talk with an agent. I agree with that 100,000%. Talk with an agent. Some people are more experienced in the area, has more experience on that area than you. So, yeah, talk with them and find different comparables. If you're using third-party database, start looking for different ways too, because if you're talking with an agent, make sure they are good agents, that, you know, someone that you can trust.
Reliable.
Right? Right. Reliable. Yeah. That's the word.
Or so, the specialize in that specific area that you're in. You don't want to go to an agent in LA when you're working in Riverside.
Right. And, you know, every single little pocket of properties all across, you know, the U.S. or whatever. I mean, I never left California, so I just talk about Southern California. they all have that mom and pop's agent that just wants to stay around their area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to drive, or I don't want to go chase open houses for my broker or whatever. You know, they're just little kind of like, I got nothing to do, so I'll just be an agent kind of deal, you know? And then they stay there. They stay there. I have a couple, you know, associates or colleagues that I know that are agents, active agents, and they don't move out of their pocket.
Oh, yeah.
and they and then they become the staple for that community. Mm-hmm. And the, and then they don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Because their signs are everywhere. Word of mouth spreads like fire, right? I mean, bad news spreads quick, but when you do good, it also spreads fairly well. Plus, when you're repetitive and consistent with good results, mm-hmm. quick turnarounds, you're the go-to guy for that area.
Oh, yeah.
You are the database.
Yeah, yeah. You are. Yeah, exactly. You are the database.
Yeah. I used to work for a husband and wife team, mm-hmm. and they specialize in the Canyon Crest area.
Okay.
And they very rarely left that area.
Really?
But yeah. Mind you, they lived in Canyon Crest.
Oh.
They were members of the Canyon Crest golf course. So they were very active even in their community and mm-hmm. in their niche where they farmed. Mm-hmm. So they became the specialists of that area. And like you said, they were the go-to for that area. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's so many different ways, or even talking to other fellow investors mm-hmm. who use other tools as well, right? I mean, so let's get that very clear. You know, when it comes to tools and software and database, everything's third-party information,
yeah.
right? Nobody has the magic wand that, you know, they have a vault with soon to become or on a conveyor belt addresses about to get listed. Nobody has that, right? It's non-existent. But they do have different tools that the tools we use might not be up to date with that. Yeah. You know, like even if you go to Zillow and Redfin, there's a huge difference from one and the other. And they're the top two databases that people seem to chase or use. And they're up to date and their data is very different.
Another thing that I used to do as well, it's see if there's someone working around that property that I'm looking to mm-hmm. purchase, right?
Yeah.
So I did a couple of times, ask, hey, what is your asking price or what are you thinking mm-hmm. to be, right? What and why?
Yeah.
So that it's another way to figure it out, have an idea.
What you're looking for, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, go to the little buzzy ones, you know, the little ones that are working all the time, ask questions.
Yeah.
Go after your answers.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you could never dry out of possibilities, right? Because you're doing your due diligence. Again, that's why the quote maybe didn't resonate with me, because it's not luck.
No. It's hard work.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like good luck to the people outside of our bubble.
It's like the, I don't know if you guys have seen on social media, the iceberg that, you know, the iceberg deep in the ocean is so deep because of all the hard work the person has done. And then just a little tip comes out and, yep. you know, they're so happy because they've made it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the roots are very deep.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not luck.
No. You know what came to mind? I've had some of my biggest hiccups that I've had with partners is the due diligence process. Because they're so antsy to get a result. And I'm so cautious about my processes. And to them, I lag. But for them, their anxiety is like, come on, let's get it done. And then I go on. It's like the hare and the tortoise. You know, they want to run to the finish line.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing all these, you know, all my steps. And then in a matter of days, I discover so much that the hare oversaw because they were so busy getting to that imaginary check, not knowing if it was a deal or not.
Right.
You know? So it's like I've always, and this is like that, now that I think of it, one of the most common hiccup I've had with anybody that I've worked with is that the due diligence. But because here's the thing, real estate is such a great business, but it comes with a great responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in it to scam anybody. I'm not in it to persuade or be predatorious to anybody in any way or form.
Yep.
I'm looking to stay out of jail. You know, I don't want to be, you know, with statutes of limitations being so big and being in California that everybody's so happy, is like, why the hell would you even want to get in trouble in such a, you know, with real estate only because you didn't want to do your due diligence?
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
Yep. You know, and a lot of people don't see that. They just see the check.
Yeah.
It is easier.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, no, not me.
Well,
no,
I'm going to worry about if we're going to jail, get, you know, cuddling with a big guy just sneaking on your neck.
Not me, man.
That's your problem.
No.
That would be fun.
Yeah, let's move on. Can we start? I think I'm blushing now.
Oh, my God.
Okay, all right, what's next, so Danny?
Forget the jail. Let's go to another point. Before, you know, went through phase one, phase two. You need to know what's the RV. You also need to know what's the cost for, you know, fixing that property. And if you don't have the experience, the best thing to do is, again, look for someone, a professional with experience, and start getting bid. So you start over there. You're going to start first learning. Second, have a notion to what it's the price. Certain areas can be really different.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So if we're working in an area like on the middle of the desert, the price is different than the middle of Riverside. So start understanding the process, the price, and how many bids that we're going to get before you get that. You know, it's not about just the price. It's about the price, the process.
Right.
You have a say. What's that? The cheap one? It's not the best one. When do you ask for price on the service, when they want sheep, they want a sheep, but they don't want a fence.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you shopping?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I tell everybody, you're shopping for price or you're shopping for quality.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Well, I'll tell you a quick story. One of my 1,000 stories. Yeah. So this caught my attention early on in life. So I don't even want to say the age because I don't want to get in trouble. But I was a young kid already working construction. And the company I used to work for, which I'm not going to name, the owner of the company was on site, okay? And then we were building walls for KB Homes, property line walls. And then this guy, we were backed up in schedule because we had so many walls to build. And this guy came to the owner of the company and said, hey, I'll build that wall for you. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, we're looking for help. Give me a price. And the guy gave him a price. And then the owner said no. And he said, well, then, you know, example, he said, I'll do it for $100. And then he said no. And he said, okay, I'll do it for $80. And then he said, no, I'm not interested. And he said, okay, dude, I could only, the least I could go is I'll do it for $50.
Wow.
And he said, no, you're not the guy I'm looking for. And he said, I can't go below $50. And he said, that's not the point. The point is that you don't even know how to price your work. What guarantees me that you know how to do the work? I was expecting a price for you to start at 200. And you came at 100. It just tells me that you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And he didn't give him the work. And it caught my attention because I was part of the conversation. I mean, I was being nosy. I was just listening in, you know. But it was a great lesson that never left me. That's been 30 years ago. 30 years ago, and I still remember to this day that he said, I can't give you the work because you don't even know what you don't even know your pricing. What happens when shit hits a fan and you make a mistake? You're going to leave me hanging? The impact it's going to cause on my company or the impact it's going to cause on your next flip?
Yeah.
You hire a contractor that's just looking to get work just to stay busy, and then shit hits a fan.
Damn.
You have holding costs, right? You have money from private lenders, or you, even if it's hard money lending, right? What if you have a timeline?
What if money penalties? Going.
You know, people say if you don't finish this flip within a week, right? Like we're talking about earlier, then I'm gonna tack on a $500 penalty every week that you don't give me the keys.
Liquidated damages.
It's like what the hell? So many different things, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So there's so many different factors in all these processes, but Danny, what you said about, you know, seeking professional help.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean hire them, just get the advice.
Yeah. Preferably licensed contractors so that you can feel like they actually have that background and, you know, they have the bond and the insurance to back up anything that were to happen. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the project might not even be that big, but the quality and what they offer, having the license, I agree, it's totally different. In one of the projects that I did, you had to replace a roof. Mm-hmm. I think I paid $1,000 more, $1,500 more in the mm-hmm. roof mm-hmm. than the other quote, but I had 10 years warranty for the new buyer. That's that it's a buying point.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Just on that, right?
So peace of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It can fall off in 10 years. No, maybe in the 8 from now.
Yeah, but still.
Not my problem anymore. The warranty is over there. So it's what mm-hmm. they offer. So bids can vary with the work and the quality. And sometimes paying more, it's just going to give the peace of mind that you probably need.
Yeah.
Right? To walk in a good pace, in a good mood for the next project. So, it comes with everything, the cost.
You know, I just merged from one supplier to another one only because of that. Because the supplier said, you know what? We just revamped our warranty. And now our warranty is, you can transfer it to the new owner for our goods. So our goods, if they're damaged or anything, you have lifetime warranty and they're transferable. We're like, wow, that alone is a selling point.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know? So I said, that's a no-brainer. I'm moving. And we moved.
There you go.
You know?
Roof, windows.
So, absolutely. All those things are, you know, your end buyer wants to move in and live life. They don't want to move in and then move in with the contractor or handyman, rent out a room to them, you know, because they got to repair all this shit, you know. So they want that peace of mind. They're investing a lot of money in their home.
Yeah.
They want that. So that I think that was a great move, you know, paying that little extra for just that peace of mind goes a long way.
And it goes beyond that. Another point, it's inspections. And appraisal, when you were mm-hmm. going through that phase, I remember that in the project, one of the electricals, they were, how do you say that? I think it's a switch.
They swapped, the wires or what?
The wires inside, whatever it was. Again, there was the insurance that comes with the job. It was electrical. I don't do electrical. The only time I tried to do electrical was my house. And my friend was just like, he's a contractor, was just like, hey, let's get beers and do the wires. So I got a shock like 10 times.
Oh, my God.
It was fun. He didn't do the project on that one, but it came with the warranty. Oh, and on the inspection, that one, you know, had to do the switch, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I just had to give a call mm-hmm. on that one. So, because it can happen, right?
Right.
It always happens. I mean, there's always a little thing that needs to be moved. So make sure everything that you do in a project, you are going to have a back over there. Someone's going to back you up for the job they did. You don't want to get a...
Yeah, well, a simple rule of thumb, very basic, very simple step to apply in your rehabbing or repairing, just repair the, you know, repair everything or rehab everything as if your kids were going to live there.
Yeah.
You know, like, just like as if you're, would you allow your family to live in the conditions of the work you are giving? No. Okay. So it's time to up it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just about being true to yourself. As a business owner or as an investor, is that your final product? Is that what you're going to put out in the market for a new family to come and make, call this their home? Would you put your kids in that? Would you live life hearing your wife yelling at you because all your doors squeak or your windows don't shut,
mm-hmm.
right? Or the faucet is leaking or your flap on your toilet doesn't stop. Like,
little things.
Little stupid things.
Little things that are going to take your, you know, sleep away.
Right. Would you put your family in that?
Yeah. And it's not just
if it's my mother-in-law. I'm just kidding. Depends.
Yeah. Sarah, you're saying?
No, I was going to say, you know, and as the, well, I mean, if it's a flip, you know, you kind of just, you know, wouldn't deal with it. But if you were holding it and it was a rental, mm-hmm. then all those headaches are going back to you.
Oh, yeah.
Your phone would be off the hook with those calls of, I need this fixed. I need that fixed. So,
and you can't get away with it. You just cannot get away with it. Wrong work is always going to cost you more in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody's going to take the earnings from that cash flow, whether if it's a management company
mm-hmm.
or it's going to be you and your time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, you're going to be negative cash flowing only because you were lazy and not willing to do the extra little, you know,
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
Hell no. No way. No yeah. way. No cutting corners. But anyways, you guys are pissing me off. Move on. Let's move on.
Another point. Let's talk about financial. If your guys are looking, you know, or if you have the opportunity, if you get on the point where negotiation comes to the table and you have the hands, you need a certain point. If it's a creative acquisition, well, you need to know the financials, right? So start looking to the financial, what it's going on with the loan documents, who is on the loan documents, right? All the names, the history, everything mm-hmm. that it's on financial that can pass. It's that property going to, I don't know, auction? Is this property in pre-foreclosure? Is that with a balloon payment? Everything when you talk about financial and you are taking over that loan on the process, if you're going to assume a loan, that is important too. So do your due diligence with integrity and looking everything that's in there, because that's going to help you. You don't want to lose your profit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I remember one time this lady just threw the key and she's just like, I don't want to deal with this property anymore. And I was really, 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 really new in real estate. And I was just and I was just like, what do I do with the key?
You know? Yeah.
But then I look on the papers, the loan documents, and there was this huge balloon. Mm. And I was just like, I don't know how to deal with this. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. by the time I was like green. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing. I was just like, okay, good luck with this one. And I walk away. I did walk away because I didn't know. But I looked at the rentals plus the payments. Well, they're not going to match anyway. So it was not a good solution for me. It was a short sale on the end. And but I could not. I didn't take it over. So still do the due diligence, right?
You have to. Yeah. You have to. Yeah, you'll inherit. So again, a lot of people coming into the business, they think it's just a walk in the park, right? And then they oversee all these little, you know, cracks on the surface because they're so antsy about hanging that trophy. Oh, I got a flip, or I got a property under contract, and then all those all that baggage is inherited to you. And now you're liable for all these tax violations or code enforcement violations, tax defaulted amounts. I mean, all this crap that makes a deal not a deal. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You went under contract and you oversaw all this.
Yeah.
Like I said, one of the episodes, now you got to go sell your kids. You know, to be able to get out of together, you know? I mean, shit. Well, don't do that, though. But what's next, Annie?
That pretty much, guys. It's do your due diligence, make your plan, you know, create a plan. Everybody has a different plan. And do step by step. Make sure you're not going to skip or cut corners, right?
Because and ask if you don't feel confident.
Exactly. Right? Ask what you need to do. Ask what you're missing. Mm-hmm. Get on your community. If it's the first time that you are doing this, get on your community. Ask your coach. Ask someone. Call someone. I'm the buggy one. I will bug someone. Now mm-hmm. that I, after, this is the point. After I lost a couple of deals when I first start, right? Mm-hmm. I can say that. Clear. Like, I was the dumb person that was not asking as many questions as I should. Today, if I have a question, you are not going to sleep, or you, because I need the answer.
Yeah, no. And I mean, that's...
It's the learning process.
It's a learning process. Yeah. Everybody learns different at different paces, different ways, right?
Yeah.
But in this business, regardless of how you learn or how quick you learn, you have to ask.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You have to ask. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great topic. There's a lot of information here, and hopefully everybody got a golden nugget out of this today. Let's close it up, ladies. What's your closing statements? Anybody?
Yeah, well, like you said, you know, it's you have to ask questions, especially when it comes to the due diligence. When you're new in the game and you're just starting, there's a lot of things that can go over your head that the seasoned investor will catch, right? So, always ask questions and take a lot of good notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Conclusion here. Due diligence are very important on the process of acquiring a property, a piece of property, even if it's a piece of land, right? Doesn't really, whatever you're doing on the real estate and you're going to put your energy, your focus, make sure you do the due diligence. Otherwise, you're going to lose your profit, lose your money, lose your sleep because you didn't do one of the parts. And it's just don't forget, that is a safeguard for your decisions on the end of the day. And I would say, don't cut corners.
Yep, absolutely. Don't cut corners. I mean, all the paper trail in real estate is one of the most sensitive parts of real estate. And cutting corners in that can get you in trouble. You can cut corners with the quality of carpet you put in or the type of paint you buy, right? You can cut a little bit of corners maybe with the type of landscaping you put in or how many sprinklers you put in, but you can't cut corners with your due diligence.
No.
You can't do that shit. Don't do it to yourself because I don't do it.
No.
All right. It was a great episode, ladies. I will see you soon.
All right, beautiful people. If you want to find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Become an investor. If you have any question, write to us on info@becomeaninvestor.com. Don't forget to give us that 5 stars and follow us on the podcast. Apple Podcast. I forgot the name for that one.
Spotify.
Yeah. All platforms.
All the platforms. All right. Good night, people.
Good night.